you know, Booney was on with Talking Yanks podcast with Jake and John Boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we get the news earlier, whatever they were talking about, Luis Gil coming back. He was talking about John Carl Stanton potentially being used in the outfield. And he didn't really commit to it. But saying they're trying to get Stanton out there, taking some grounders, whatever. We know he can't play the outfield. Problem's going to be when Judge comes back, it's going to be as a DH, at least primarily as a DH.
Yeah.
Like, he can't throw. I don't think that's going to get better in 10 days with this issue. Maybe it does get progressively better as the weeks go on, but he's going to need to DH, if not a lot, at least some.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happens, then what with the Yankees? Having Judge the DH, now you're going to have Stanton out of lineup, and that kind of defeats the purpose.
It's just more of the same. More of the same issues. Really, that's the best way to describe it. We've gone down this road a million times. This is nothing new. This is just a horrendously built roster.
Not a horrendous team, just
a horrendously built roster.
The way they're constructed, and I really do think the move to get Stanton after 2017 was the one that just roadblocked so many other potential moves, whether it be Bryce Harper or Machado, or just having guys being able to use the DH spot to be healthier or rest more with Aaron Judge. Just a roadblock that to me isn't worth it with John Carl Stanton. Years later, he's only gotten worse. He never stays healthy himself, and when he is healthy, he can't run or field or throw or catch. Like, just a disaster. Anyway, dude, Rhino, how sad was that yesterday?
That popped up.
Yeah,
Ryan Sandberg was, you know, one of those names that, you know, he was a big part of our childhood. He was an amazing player at a position, number one for a team that never won. You know, they made the playoffs a couple times there, Rick Sutcliffe, those teams, obviously, but they never won a World Series, you know, at that point. So, yeah, you felt their plight. I think I saw them so much against the Mets back in the day and also on WGN because that was also like their, you know, you get free Cubby games.
Yeah, I remember the Braves more on TBS when I was younger as opposed to the Cubs. Did you remember the 84 season probably more so than I do with Sandberg?
Oh, yeah.
MVP that year.
Talking about the Tigers. The Tigers won the World Series that year. Tigers, and then that was the, did the Cubs lose to the Padres in the
I believe so.
Pennant there? I believe it was.
I remember more 89 when they lost to the Giants in the NLCS.
That was the earthquake.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the earthquake was in the World Series with the A's and the Giants, but the 89 NLCS, I believe, was the Cubs. Anyway, Sandberg, to your point, like that was one
good
of the guys.
Player.
You know, I would collect the cards. It was Sandberg, Boggs, Puckett, Mattingly, Doc, Darryl, but Rhino was always one of my favorites from afar. And dude, just a great, great ball player. I watched a, you should really watch this. It was on the MLB app.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a 6-minute clip of highlights and all that stuff to go over Sandberg's career. You know, and his life, the way that everybody did with Hogan here.
Yeah, for
last
sure.
Couple of days. So they did that with Sandberg. And the one thing that he said was respect. That's the reason why he was a Hall of Famer. Respect. He played the game the way it was meant to be played. He respected the game. Played his ass off. Ran the base as well. Gold Glover. Perennial All-Star. Hit with power. Hit with average. Just one of the all-time great baseball players.
And definitely one of the all-time great second basemen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he jumped out to me. At that point, you had a lot of first basemen, you know, some outfielders obviously doing damage, Mike Schmidt over third base. You know, you had some, his shortstop was still fairly lean in terms of having a potent offensive player, and so was second base. Like, you had a lot of guys. I mean, Willie Randolph was good, but Willie wasn't like a banger. Lou Whitaker was a power guy at that point, going back to the 84 season with the Tigers, but Ryan Sandberg was a staple, and I just pulled up his stats as a point of reference here. You know, you'd have to really have lived through this period. You know, you just had the Manny Trios and the Larry Boas and the Bucky Dents and guys who didn't hit a whole lot. Second or shortstop, and 19 triples one year, 114 runs scored, OPS 890, 870, 809, 855, 912, 865, 881, 40 home runs one year. I don't think he was juicing. You know, a lot of hits. Just a fantastic player. And you're right, ball player. He could drop a bunt. He could hit one 400 feet. He could turn a double play. He can go first to home on a double. Ball player.
You know, and for
and classy,
me,
Sal.
From, yeah.
You know what I mean? Classy.
For me, those were the type guys. This is why I'm such a harsh critic of the Hall of Fame. And we didn't discuss the Hall of Fame together yesterday. I know you did some of it last week.
Mm.
I didn't want to get into it yesterday because first of all, I don't even care about it at this point anymore. I like having the conversation when guys are up on the ballot or potentially getting in.
Yeah, that's the fun stuff.
Yeah, as far because that's just debate stuff. It happens once a year. You do it, you move on. You forget about it. The speeches, I'm sorry, but they don't do anything for me.
I still watch them, but I got you.
Maybe certain players would, and maybe there'll be a time down the road that they would. But like even with Piazza going in, didn't I don't care about the speeches. Ichiro, I saw some clips, whatever, Sabathia. But the real reason is because, and I hate to say this, I don't want to say anything negative, I don't think CeCe Sabathia is a Hall of Famer. And I certainly don't think he should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So that's why I wouldn't make a big deal about it. But my point about Sandberg is when you watched him play, even from a young kid's perspective, watching the opponent, when the Mets would go to Wrigley,
yep.
I remember they were in the same division, so they played
saw
a lot back then. Exactly.
Saw
right.
them a lot.
It was a big deal.
Leon Bull Dorm at first base. 100%.
All those guys. Vance Law was with the Cubs for a little bit.
Yep. Steve Lake, I think, was behind the plate.
Jody Davis was a catcher.
Yeah, so.
Anyway, Andre Dawson, when he was there for a little bit, there was no doubt that Sandberg was the guy on that team that struck fear in you. And he was a clear, you know, just a Hall of Fame. Like, you know it when you see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There was never a doubt. It wasn't like as an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old, I'm running around saying, oh, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame one day. But you know the impact that player has when he comes to town or when your team's going there.
Yep.
That, to me, is a Hall of Famer. And obviously, he did that throughout the course of his career. But that, to me, is what should feel like a Hall of Famer. When you're watching it, you just know, uh-oh, Cubs are in town, or the Mets are in Wrigley. Watch out for Rhino because he's going to do some damage. And then he did do damage.
Yeah.
That, to me, is a Hall of
Famer. Yeah, well said. Or then you rip open a pack of cards, whether it's 84, 85, 86, and you pull out, you know, the Donnies, the Puckets, guys like that. And then you pull the Sandberg. You feel like you pulled the top piece of real estate with some of the other best players in the game. And you got to go back. So for me, 84, you for more 89 with you with the vivid you know, recollection of Ryan really as a player. But, you know, to me, we were not desensitized by steroids yet. So when you see a second baseman banging 20-plus home runs and, you know, a lot of extra base hits, and one year he had 40, and he's skinny, he doesn't look like a jacked-up, you know, inauthentic superhero, it just really shows you that he, you know, that was an era where there were just more baseball players. And I know we sound like the old guys, get off the lawn, I get it, unk, okay, great. But there's so many guys. I actually got that list. Like somebody, because I was complaining about Luka Doncic being in the Yankee booth.
You get called Unk?
Yeah. It's the first time I ever got called Unk. Unk!
That's ridiculous.
Unk! But no, Sandberg was an A to Z baseball player. Rest in peace. Great player.
And the consistency. You know, 314, 305, 284, 294, 290, 306, 291, 304. Like, this is the consistency. Even the numbers that you mentioned before, whether it's the stolen bases, always there, the ribbies, the strikeout numbers. That's something that is lost in today's game by even some of the best players. The consistency that Rhino has.
Now, we do have to revisit one comment that you made about CeCe. Okay, so I don't think he should have been first ballot. To say that CeCe Sabathia should not be a Hall of Famer is absolute lunacy.
Yeah, maybe the numbers, I don't know, man. I have a hard time with it. I guess I never watched him and thought, surefire Hall of Famer. I loved him with the Yankees. He was a bulldog. He's a guy who's not afraid to throw up and in or get into it with somebody, specifically the Rays. I know what he did in 2009.
Yeah.
I think there was an overinflation on CeCe because he was a Yankee. And I certainly don't think he should have been a first ballot. And maybe that's the part that bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I think he's better than Messina, sure.
I
was having
so
this conversation with John Harper yesterday at SNY. Because who was it? Oh, Sunday Night Baseball. The Sunday Night Baseball broadcast with the Mets were on it. And Ravitch was talking about how David Cone should be in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on. And then I had this conversation with Harper. And he goes, dude, Cone probably more of a Hall of Famer than Messina. Maybe. But I never once watched David Cone. While I acknowledge how great he was with both the Mets and the Yankees.
And Toronto.
Big game
and
pitcher, Toronto. Certainly. 100%. I get it. Royals before the Mets.
Yeah,
I understand it. I'm saying close here with the Mets and Yankees and different type of pitchers with the teams.
Mm-hmm.
Clutch performer. I never once thought I was watching a Hall of Famer with David Cone. Now, you want to make the argument because CeCe and Mussina are in and maybe some others that he should be? Fair enough. But to me, watching Mike Mussina, I never thought it was a Hall of Famer. Watching David Cone, I never thought he was a Hall of Famer. And just Sabathia overall, I don't know if I could say he's a Hall of Famer. I don't look at him on the level of Randy Johnson.
Well, he's not.
Or Pedro Martinez.
He's not.
But so then, like, what is there, a part B of
the
whole thing?
Yeah, I know. That's where we get into the, you know, those semantics of it. And I'm with you on that. Although, I told you guys this before the show, the stat that jumped out to me, there's three lefties in the history of baseball over 3,000 strikeouts. One is the big unit, one is Steve Carlton, one is C.C. Sabathia. But no, I don't look at CeCe the way I look at those other two. So is he a first ballot? No. Should he be in? Yeah. I've become a little softer with this as Baines gets in and some of these other players. Mm-hmm. But the thing about David Cone, and you know, and I agree with you on Mike Mussina. I never thought that Mike Mussina was a Hall of Famer. That was always my thought on him. David Cone to me, and I'm just thinking about all the pitchers from the time I was young up until, you know, basically when he retired. And that includes the Docs. And that includes the Darlings and the El Cids. And, you know, the Yankees didn't have a lot of great pitchers when I was young. But obviously, Guidry, like in the 70s before I was, when I was really young. I think, to me, David Cone. I mean, now El Duque was big game and, you know, some others as well. Pettit, too. But I felt the confidence with David Cone taking the baseball in a big game. I would put David Cone up there. Now, I'm not saying quite Pedro Martinez.
Right.
But to me, David Cone was as high as you could get.
Okay, so
he was fearless and he was filthy.
Okay, so I would rather have guys like that. And again, I never watched him and thought Hall of Famer, but maybe I was a little too young to appreciate some of the better years that he had specifically with the Mets. Whatever, fine. Big game pitcher, absolutely. I would rather have the guys like Mattingly, Puckett. I know Puckett got in, but again, there was some argument there. David Wright, Jacob DeGrom. I don't know if he's going to be a surefire Hall of Famer, but like, even if guys do it for a shorter period of dominance, I'd value that more than I do the longevity of very, very good as opposed to great.
Now, that's a really interesting thought, because from a fan's perspective and just evaluating the Hall of Fame, I probably agree. I think that's a way that I've looked at it as well. And, you know, you give me four or five. If you give me that sixth year, then you should be in no matter what. But you didn't really get six all-time seasons from Mattingly. You got really like five. But if you go four or five all-time seasons and then something happens, you get like Bo Jackson, you get hurt, David Wright, Don Mattingly, I would prefer that in terms of Hall of Fame candidacy and imprinting the game myself. But if I own a team and you say, hey, you get to draft this, whether it's the first round or the 20th round, like Mattingly, right? And you say, all right, you're going to get 4 or 5 years, and this guy's an old-timer, and then the next, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, you're going to piece it together, he's going to be hurt, he's going to lose his power, his profile's going to change. I think, I really think I would prefer somebody who's more consistent for 12 years but never hits the apex of a Mattingly or, you know, a Bo Jackson, because if you give me 10, 11, 12 years and you're consistent, that's what everybody talks about. Like, the greatest talent is being available.
Yeah, I guess that's a part of it. I'd value the dominance more. Just looking over some of Sabathia's numbers. I mean, the ERA, dude.
What, 3.6, something like that? Was it 3 change?
Career 3.74. Like, I'll tell you, from a Yankees perspective, or even just in general, and I've had this argument for a while, I would put Andy Pettit in the Hall of Fame based on not only his career, but more specifically the postseason. Dude, Pettit was the ace on the Yankees dynasty teams. If talk about a big game pitcher, Andy Pettit, to me, because of his success in the postseason, should be a Hall of Famer, more so than, in my mind, at least Mussina, certainly, and maybe even C.C. Sabathia.
Yeah, I'm looking at this, too. So, obviously, he's got the one Cy Young there, another top five, another top four, another top three, another top four.
Talking about C.C.?
Talking about C.C. Yeah. And then you get to 2012, obviously, with the Yankees, makes the All-Star team. But his final 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 seasons, 0 top 10 Cy Young finishes. Honestly,
he was a compiler.
He was. And I could listen, when you win 60% of your games, I mean, that's legit. You won a championship in 09. You won a Cy Young with the then Indians. I get it. There's really a couple of different ways to frame it, because if you didn't watch him pitch, like, take somebody like Don Sutton. He compiled, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Don Sutton at the end, like, I think with the Angels and vaguely with the Dodgers, vaguely. But I think Don Sutton came up in the 60s. I didn't even really see him in the 70s. But if you look at Don Sutton's stats, you're like, you know, all right. But because I want the 3-4 seasons out of five where it's 21 wins, 20 wins, 2.6 ERA, Cy Young, All-Star, you know, 2.92, 1.97. Like, I need a couple of all-time seasons in there. And the thing that I would say about CeCe, with all due respect, I don't see one all-time season. That's what I don't saying. See one well, all-time season.
The only argument you would have would be the year that he won the Cy Young.
But was that an all-time season?
I mean, 241 innings, a lot of
freaking
innings.
Dude, his ERA was 3.21.
Well, you're making the argument for me.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I see it both ways.
And I'm also not trying to disparage him. I think he's
not
a great guy. And I'm
great
happy.
Guy.
I'm happy for him. I'm just saying, me personally, is why I didn't want to talk about it, because I feel like, he shouldn't be a Hall of Famer, and then it's a negative thing where I really don't want to do that. But I would value, like, I think CeCe got in because he was a dominant ace with the then Indians.
He was.
Then got traded to the Brewers, and because he won the World Series in 2009 with the Yankees.
That's huge.
But look at Pettit.
Yeah.
If that's the argument,
yeah.
What about Andy Pettit? He won 5 World Series with the Yankees, for goodness sakes.
Was he ever the ace, though? You think about it. Was he ever the ace? Was he ever the true ace?
What, you're talking about big picture baseball dominant?
Yankee teams, like 96, you had Jimmy Cannon. He got rocked in 96 in game one. Andrew Jones took him deep twice. I think the final score was 12-1 that first game. You had Jimmy Key on that team. You had Coney on that team. Then you get to the El Duques and the David Wells and the Clemens. I'm not saying Pettit wasn't great. Was he ever the without question ace of the New York Yankees championship team?
You have one game to win, life on the line.
Yep.
Pettit or Sabathia?
I'm going to go with Pettit.
Yeah, me too.
I'm going to go with Pettit.
So if I think that, then how can I put one in the Hall of Fame and not the other? To mention Mussina, who I wouldn't even have in my rotation if there's a big game to win.
Yeah,
and I like Mussina.
Mussina used to drive me nuts.
He was very good.
He was soft, dude. When he didn't defend, when the Yankees got drilled, when Soriano and Jeter got plunked by Pedro to start that game, hospital, x-ray, and Mussina did not throw with the Red Sox, I never respected him again.
And CeCe's the opposite.
And
a great personality, which I also think helped get him involved.
No question about it. Oh, quick one before you get the call. Would you rather have Dwight Gooden's career or CeCe's career?
Yeah,
because
that's a great
because
point.
This kind of gets into the gist of what we said before with Mattingly and Puckett.
Well, who do you think? I'd probably rather have Sabathia's career, but I think Doc at his best, untouchable. One of the great seasons in the entire history of the sport.
No doubt.
Now it wasn't just because of injury like David Wright or Donnie Mattingly.
It was because self-inflicted
some
shoulder issues,
thing
too.
With Doc,
no, I know. I mean, think about this. So,
Who do you think's a better pitcher? At their peak, Doc or CeCe?
At their peak? Yeah. Dwight Gooden.
Right, okay,
at their
course.
Peak, there's no question.
So why would then...
At his peak, Doc was better than almost anybody, but maybe Koufax
so don't you think that
Pedro
that would...
and Maddox and 5-6 others in the history of the game at his peak?
Then don't you think that would tell a better story for the Hall of Fame, saying, like, this guy was one of the best pitchers ever?
Yeah.
Tell the whole story.
Yes, but then you look at the whole 15-year, whatever it was, bouncing around, 7 or 8 years where he just did nothing. It's a tough call.
BT and Sal on the Fan. The BT and Sal Show on the Fan is presented by your Tri-State Cadillac dealers. Cadillac, the official luxury vehicle of the New York Mets. Sal is calling from Garfield about his Yankees. What's up, Sal? All right. John is calling from Orlando. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Love the show. Hey, BT, like you, I am just sick and tired of seeing the same old stuff every single night, same old garbage with the Yankees.
Every year, really.
Now, with the deadline, it's every year. You're absolutely right. But with the deadline coming up and putting bullpen help aside because they need all the help in the world with the bullpen, but Judge is 33 years old. He's not getting any younger.
Mm-hmm.
How about looking at trading Dominguez and maybe some other prospects to bring in a Steven Kwan? Who's now available.
I love Steven Kwan. He came up the other day. I mean, I think he would help anybody. Steven Kwan knows how to get on base. He's a hell of a fielder. He can run. He's played some playoff games, a couple against the Yankees. Steven Kwan's a baseball player, man. There's no doubt.
You need more of those.
You need more of them. Now, what's his contract at? I'd have to double check that. Would I give up Dominguez? I mean, I'd like to see Dominguez in center field for 3 months before I render my final verdict on Jason Dominguez. Can I, it's like having the hottest prospect and your best prospect is a third baseman and he's playing second base. Just put him where he's supposed to be so I can get the intel that I need before I can tell you if I would move on from
the guy. But don't you think that tells you that they have the intel that they wouldn't put him in center field? I'll tell you is this. I can't watch him in left field. I'm not saying he's not passable, but watch him play left. Now, in comparison to Bellinger, anybody is going to look bad in left.
Yep.
But he's just, it's not like he's on skates. He's just, he's walking.
You know what he is? He's mechanical. He's robotic. He's not flowing. He's not flowing out there.
He just doesn't look comfortable.
I agree with that.
Slow to the ball, making sure he's not overrunning anything. He just doesn't look like a confident, comfortable big league outfielder. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, anybody with a pair of eyes can see that. Or like you said, Cyclops might be able to see that as well.